You are listening to Training Matters with Honey Shelton. Training Matters is brought to you by the Training Institute, dedicated to setting the standard for individuals responsible for training effectiveness in banks and credit unions across the country.
Hi, everybody. Honey Shelton here with Training Matters. Glad to have you with us today, and I'm real excited to introduce you to a friend and an expert out there in the field. He's going to tell you what kind of expert he is, because we'll be talking about how you can boost sales, especially results of efforts that you put into at the branch where you're trying to serve your customer, your account holder better, and at the same time, tie them to you and be sure that you're banking people the best way for them. So, Steve, welcome to the show. I'd love for you to share with our listeners who you are, what you do, and tell us about your firm.
Well, honey, thanks so much for having me. It's great to be with you. I'm not sure the word expert would be appropriate, but I have been around a little while. I'm one of the partners with a company called Integrity Solutions. I've been part of the team for just over 20 years, actually. We're headquartered in Nashville, Tennessee, but I'm actually located in Phoenix, where we also have a training center in Scottsdale. The organization was founded 47 years ago by a gentleman by the name of Ron Willingham. Ron is from the great state of Texas, in Amarillo is where we actually were very first founded. But he believed that integrity was good for business and good for life, and that became his passion and his passion. He's authored 11 books around the subjects of sales and service and coaching and goal setting and just achievement. So our purpose as a firm, really from day one, has been to help our clients create more value for their customers, really, again, around improving sales, service, and coaching performance. So far as community banks, most of the clients we partner with in that arena are specific to something we call integrity selling for banking curriculum. And then regarding credit unions, it's a similar solution that's geared specific to that audience, which is called the member advantage.
Well, awesome. You certainly are addressing right away the clients that we share in the banking and credit union world. And of course, I had heard about Ron before I met you. And so it's wonderful to hear you elaborate a little bit on what he authored and what Integrity Solutions is all about. What I think would be a good place to start today is, you know, what are your observations on some of the challenges financial institutions are faced with relative to creating and sustaining a sales culture?
Well, for those of you that have been in the world of financial services for a while, you certainly have seen many changes that kind of influence, you know, the where and how we devote our time and our energy and resources. So even though we've tried to remain customer or member focused, it's really easy to get off track with all of the industry regulations that are, you know, the compliance mandates, technology surfacing that really needs to be leveraged, or at least we need to explore how to leverage that, possible mergers and acquisitions and so on. And all of that is really, you know, in the face of tighter margins and profitability. So while all of those things are important, it's not likely what will help you grow and evolve loyal customers. And you probably, I think the greatest opportunity lies in creating more value or defining the way you create value and the perception your clients have of that value. A side note here, my father, his entire banking career, I'm sorry, was in banking. And so I really have some neat memories growing up, especially as a little tyke getting that free lollipop when I walked into the branch. But it was what I remember about it is walking down the street. If you looked up, the name of the bank was Western Bank, and their tagline was "the bank that likes to know you by name." And they did it really well. It connected them to the community, and it not only brought people off the streets, but they stayed with the bank for a long time. Well, eventually they were absorbed by a large national chain. And unfortunately with that, they lost some of that special connection, their identity. And it wasn't just with the customers, it was with the employees as well. So, you know, what we do to try to bring in and, or I should say, get and keep customers and members is very important. I think it was a report, I want to say it was the Retail Banking 2020 report that shared a real key statistic not long ago, and that's that 60% of banks say that a more customer-centric model is really important going forward, but only 20% of them feel prepared for it. And that actually includes the evolution of what we're calling a customer-centric selling culture, or having, you know, our firm, our bank, our credit union identify and embrace what that really means, a sales mentality. You know, in many cases, it's probably safe to say that there's this lingering fear of losing the identity that we've all worked so hard at creating. And that's not just the identity amongst our community, it's that barrier with employees as well. So, honey, to your question, you know, we definitely see financial institutions embracing more of a strategic understanding about the true value of customer or member-centric sales culture. What does it really mean, and how can we heighten trust and create that win-win? Actually, it'd be a win-win-win for the, but not just the customer, but the bank and the employees.
Well, that's such a fit with the values that every financial institution I walk into, the integrity, quality service, meeting the needs, et cetera. But in addition, or maybe kind of targeting it a little tighter, a lot of our listeners, they want better sales results from the branch and the lending team. So, Steve, why don't we start with the branch, the front line? Give us some feedback. Give us kind of a quick preview, if you will, about when your company's helping a financial institution improve sales performance. What are some best practices the front line needs to pay attention to?
Well, yeah, that's a great question. I really have a soft spot for the front line. I just, you know, most people in these roles are really true servants at heart. It's kind of why they signed up, right? Because historically, mm-hmm. that's what these positions entailed. And I think they really do represent the heartbeat. But as the landscape has changed in banking and kind of evolved, it's not uncommon to see initiatives tied to better equipping these folks with upselling and cross-selling skills, better questions, just interfacing more proactively. So largely aimed at gaining referrals and working closer with or in tandem with the commercial side. But maybe a good question that you can ask yourself in your environment, are my people, or my frontline, are we transaction-focused? Are we product-focused? Are we really customer-focused? And which of those represents your best opportunity looking forward? How is it that we can best educate and equip our people to become that competitive advantage? And honey, you mentioned, you know, integrity being a part of many mission statements. It's not uncommon to have a lot of things stated or put on a poster, but it's a whole nother thing to educate and equip our people to deliver on our brand promise. So, but I think one of the primary or first barriers or hurdles to overcome, again, especially with the frontline group, is their view of selling. You know, what do they think selling is? And for many, it creates a sense of cognitive dissonance or like a mental discomfort because we have contradictory or negative beliefs. Do I believe selling is doing something to someone, or do I believe it's doing it with them and for them? Do I think it's like a noble thing to do? Or is it pushy and manipulative? And by the way, majority of population, I remember reading a study years ago, I believe it was 9.1 or 9.10 on average had something negative to say about selling. So we each, you know, form our opinions based upon our life's experiences. Here at Integrity, we define selling as identifying and understanding needs people have and creating value. So really, selling is serving and serving is selling. But identifying and understanding needs people have and understanding how we can create value for them. For any listeners that may have attended the recent Bank Trainers Conference in June, one of my colleagues did a breakout session on something that we call the sales congruence model, and it might be of value. I'd like to share five dimensions that impact performance that tie to selling activities. I'll describe these in brief. I try not to get into detail here, but the first one is a view of selling. So we just talked about that. Defining what selling means in your environment can do wonders, and collaborating on that conversation and helping your people play a role in defining that. So view of selling is paramount. But the second one is the view of my abilities. So based upon my view of selling, do I then feel I have the abilities to do this? Do I have the self-image per se As an example, as a young teller, do I see myself being able to interact and ask questions of someone that may be twice my age or perhaps in a strong financial status? The third one is my values. Are my values aligned? Does sincerity drive my behaviors? Do I understand, does my inner purpose align with what I'm being asked to do? The fourth one is commitment to activities. Do I really understand and am I committed to the activities that are necessary in my role to define success? And the fifth one is the belief in product, or the belief in product or services that we offer. Do I think our customers or our members receive true value in return for their willingness to utilize our services? So there's five dimensions. The view of selling would be, I like it. The view of abilities, I can do it. The values, it's the right thing to do. The commitment to activities would be, I'm committed, I know what to do. And then the belief in product or services, I see the value as I'm doing it. And so the notion here, where gaps occur in those five dimensions is where people, in the front line especially, and sellers and CSRs, and even back office in some respects, they become less effective. There's some sort of a pull or drag if they are not have clarity in these dimensions. So, but where they're aligned, it really does result in a higher sense of purpose and achievement drive in alignment with the bank's mission and objectives as well. In fact, obviously, as a leader or as a coach, these would be vital areas that you could coach to as well.
Well, wow, Steve, that's what I say about that. Painting such a clear picture of those five key principles. I was making notes, and I'll bet people are going to back up the recording if they need to really capture that, because I resonated with that, and occasionally I'm called upon to try to help people in the sales results side, and I think that was such a great quick reference to, if you want to impact results, start with how you see things and find out what your belief system is. We are just so driven by how we see and believe in ourselves. And of course, you can believe something and not have the ability and it's going to collapse. So I thought that was a great summary. Steve, is there anything you'd add to that or anything you want to say about the lending team, since I think the front line mostly associates with people calling them or coming in, where the lending team is being urged and in some cases required more now than ever before to get out the door and go develop business?
Well, I think in what's being, perceived as a fairly commoditized industry, obviously new business is important, but there's also value in escalating the relationships that we have and really understanding the importance of maximizing every interaction that we have. So when we think about the relationships we have with our customers or our members, what's important to remember, it doesn't matter what we think the relationship is. What matters is what their perception of our relationship is, right? So, our brand on the outside is only as strong as our brand on the inside. So how are we equipping our lenders and our other folks to have those conversations? It's not a bad filter to really think through your relationship, but are you simply a bank to them or credit union, a place to put their money, or are you a true partner in their financial well-being and kind of roadmap, if you will? A few years ago, one of my bank clients in upstate New York said that there's four things. They have this, I don't know if it's a poster or something, but they teach their staff that there's four expectations that customers have. And these make sense. They are to make money, to save money, convenience, and security. And I thought, wow, that's a nice kind of a Reader's Digest recap. But as I thought about it and further discussed it with him, I probably would add a fifth one there. And that's something tied to trusting and transparency in our relationship. I mean, financials are very sacred ground, right? So the ability to have that sort of a relationship. So we have something that's called a value segmentation model. And I believe there's a white paper on this as well that's available. But the notion here is that if you picture a quadrant and the bottom two squares contain those customers or members who simply see us as a bank, so we're seen as a supplier, possibly as a value add, someone who may, maybe our branches are open in the evenings or we've got a certain sort of checking account available. So there's a value add, but there's not a strong sense of loyalty there. Whereas the upper two quadrants of this model is where we really want to get to. It's those people that see us as more of a trusted advisor, or better yet, a true partner in their financial plan. So again, the bottom half, really more logical, more transactional, and the top half is emotional, kind of a deeper extended relationship. So one question to ask yourself as a lender, am I a product seller or am I a problem solver? The product seller obviously would be in the bottom part. The problem solver would be on the top part. So how do you get there? Remember here, we're talking about the perception of the client, not your perception. So in a client's eyes, how do we get there? There's a whole bunch of research around this. There's Gallup has some things, Corporate Executive Board. But one of the best is, a classic. I think it's called the Loyalty Effect by Reichard. The number one way of creating, of escalating to that partner relationship is through creating an emotional bond. Now, I know that sounds deep, but in simple fashion, you can create an emotional bond by really becoming more aware of your communication effectiveness. You know, how do we communicate and how might we be perceived by them or the person? And honey, I know you're involved with the DISC program, and that's an excellent tool. It's a good example of something that can be utilized to really gain an awareness of our style, how we communicate and how we're perceived. But just as important, or probably more important, than how do we identify other styles and how do we adapt, again, to maximize every interaction? How can we communicate the way they want to be communicated with? So that's one. The second one is in the quality of questioning that we ask. So our founder, Ron, I mentioned Ron Willingham, one of the favorite quotes he has, I think, is the soul of wisdom is in asking the right questions. You know, we get caught up in doing what we do every day, and as we interact and communicate with people, and this isn't just the commercial or lender side, this would be throughout the bank, we're asking client questions specific to, okay, what are you now using, current questions and desired questions. So what are you using, or where are you now, and where would you like to be? What's very helpful is to plan and ponder elevating those questions into categories that include things such as the risks or consequences, or the rewards and benefits. So these obviously are incorporating a little bit more of an emotional, or things that would engender a little bit more transparent conversation. And it really shows more of an authentic interest in the understanding the uniqueness of that person. So here's the kicker summary. In the end, your ability to really move them from being satisfied to loyal, it matters in a couple of ways. One, loyal customers, loyal members are willing to invest 23% more wallet share. And in banking terms, that's probably moving beyond, household products. If there's, I think the average is 2.2 out of a possible 7, if there is 7 still, but those numbers surface in my brain. But beyond that, investing more with you, they become your net promoters. So they're your apostles that are out there referring other clients to come see you at your facility.
Great, Steve. Love that. The heartbeat of a community-minded financial institution is, I do want a satisfied customer. And then when you talked about transitioning them to loyal, it's so true. They go out there and beat the drum and brag about where they do business. Loved all that. Thank you for that. I know that these ideas that you've come across with, these solutions, if you will, talking about what the front line could do, the coaching aspect, the lending side, is going to be so helpful to our audience. So on their behalf, thanks a million. Also, I want to know a couple of other things before we go. If somebody wants to connect with you or check out some things you talked about, what you offer, I know you help people get to really good solutions in sales cultures and skill sets. How can they get in touch with you, Steve?
Well, thanks for asking. Well, yeah, I'd be delighted to hear from anyone directly. My email address is my first initial S for Steve and my last name Schmidt. So it's S Schmidt, spelled S-C-H-M-I-D-T. @integritysolutions.com. And of course, our website has a variety of resources, insights, newsletters, blogs, videos, and so on. But if there's a topic of interest, feel free to shoot me a note directly. I'd love to respond. We just did a research project. There's a holistic summary, kind of a recap that I think from a banking and a financial services perspective provides a real good filter on what areas might we be missing in terms of developing not just the skill set, but the mindset as well. So love to share that. Thanks for asking, honey.
Absolutely. Well, this has been great. Thank you, Steve, for sharing your experience, your expertise, and certainly what great advice and solutions. You know, you've really lived up to the name of your company by offering people pictures that could come to mind as you talked about five things and four things. Great tool for a trainer like it. Listeners, thank you so much for tuning in one more time and connecting with us. We always enjoy this a conversation we can bring to you about things that matter so much to you. I want you to join us again next month for another episode of Training Matters.
You've been listening to Training Matters with Honey Shelton.